Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm the aforementioned Tim Wildman. Joining me is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
You're the aforementioned, right? If I'm aforementioned, you're aftermentioned.
Aftermentioned. I'm gonna chew on that.
Is that even a word?
Aftermentioned? I don't think so, but you know what? We identify and we create our own reality, Tim. So if you want to create words, that's a part of your reality.
I just think if a four, then after needs to. Anyway,
yeah,
we can talk about this over lunch or something. Yeah?
Absolutely.
I don't think we need to bore our listeners with
any further
this conversation any longer. As Chris Woodward sits across the way.
Yeah, I'm the fill-in
For Fred Jackson. Yes. Fred's still out traveling the USA, is he?
As far as I know. And, you know, every time he's gone, something big happens. We got a lot to talk about today. And I would guess if he's still gone tomorrow, something big will happen, and we'll be covering that.
Chris, I think if you're looking for a gentler and calmer time anywhere in the next
24 hours, ain't going to cut it.
I tell you, I've been here.
Or is going to cut it.
I have been here. August 2nd will be 10 years since I've been here.
Really?
Yes.
I remember when you were hired.
Yes. Yeah. And
You were shaving. You started shaving.
Yeah, yeah. And then I became a man and grew a beard. Nothing compares to the last 6 months. It's been super busy since Trump was elected, but nothing compares to the last 6 months. You'll come in with plans to cover this, this, and this, and then something happens, and all that's gone and old news. No one cares.
Yeah. Our news site is onenewsnow.com that Chris works for our news work with and for our news team there at onenewsnow.com. Fred Jackson heads that department up, and we're so proud of the work that our team does there, Fred and Chris and Steve and the whole bunch there in our news department. All right, if you want to watch this show on the internet, Ed, how can they do that?
Well, there's two easy ways to do it. You go to Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues.
Search,
and then click through, and you'll be able to watch us on the internet.
And we also post the stories
that on Facebook.
That we discuss on our Facebook page, so you can have access to the information firsthand, so you'll know where we get our basis for the stories that we discuss. So we look forward to you visiting us on our Facebook page and our YouTube page. By the way, we are going to Israel in March, and we look forward to having many of our folks who listen to AFR join us. We're going to see the Holy Land. So that's March 16th through the 24th, 2021. So when is that? 8-9 months from now. So if you'd like to look into going with us, then go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. There we have a brochure you can print out. We post the itinerary with biblical references to all the sites that we'll see. So if you'd like, well, by the way, this time we're staying at a brand new hotel on the Sea of Galilee.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a brand new hotel. Nice. And in Jerusalem, very nice hotel in Jerusalem as well. So I know this trip is on the bucket list for many people. If you'd like to, you know, there's a lot of people take groups and tours to Israel. So if you go with somebody else, that's fine. As long as you get to go, that's wonderful. But if you want to look at our trip in March, go to twholyland.com.
I mean, they won't have as much fun if they go with somebody else, but that's up to them.
That's up to them.
Yeah.
That's up to them. Chris, we got some sad news out of Chicago last night. I was watching TV. And
violence continues to just plague Chicago, that may even be an understatement, plague there. 15 people injured after a drive-by shooting at a Chicago funeral. At least one person of interest is in custody. This, as you know, it comes.
When I saw this story, how do you have a drive-by shooting at a funeral service? I mean, what in the world is going on
was
here?
Was this gang-related or something? I mean, I'm sure they're investigating, but that would be my first thought, is that you have the death of somebody that's in a rival gang. Mm-hmm.
But these people have nothing to do.
I know. These are evil people.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
10 of the victims were women ages 21 to 65, and one of the women was shot in the chest. The 65-year-old woman was treated at the scene. I thought it was gang-related as well.
You guys are speculating.
We're just speculating.
I agree with that, you know, that initial reaction. You wonder, how do you make any, quote, sense of this?
Right.
It's some kind of retaliation from one gang to another.
Mm-hmm. But to just shoot, I mean, just I just don't.
I know it's.
It's evil to just open fire.
Indiscriminately.
Indiscriminately.
I mean, it's evil to kill somebody discriminately, right?
Yes.
Unless they're attacking you. Are in a warfare situation, but just to go to people walking in and out of a funeral home or a funeral service and you start mowing them down.
Yeah.
This is Chicago, Illinois. But the thing about it is, I was looking at the Fox News website.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't checked out the other major news sites, but it's like not even a 12-hour lead story.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad violence is in Chicago. It's next in weather.
Yeah.
You know, 14 people kind of shot today at a funeral, and next in weather.
Right.
John?
Yeah.
When do the Cubs open up?
Yeah.
I mean,
people get hardened to this kind of thing.
It is an unfortunate thing. I mean, we've kind of covered that as a news story, not necessarily just Chicago, but gun violence, incidents of gun violence that occur in various parts of the city continually. After a while, they do become kind of a second block after the commercial break, kind of a story versus.
I'm
going to
change this gun violence stuff. You know, I'm going to start calling it, and I understand what you're saying, Chris. People shooting gun violence.
There you go. Yeah. Sometimes the news comes out on the show.
Liberals say. They say gun violence. As if guns get up every morning, you know.
And decide to shoot somebody.
Travel around outside and shoot somebody. And it's
I'm gonna make a note
it's
of
not
that.
The guns. It's the people using, people killing, or criminals, if you want to call them that, killing people with guns. That kind of violence, yes, is increasing.
I've written that down.
Okay.
So,
well, I imagine this. If somebody died of a stabbing, would you say knife violence is up?
Right.
We don't say that.
Right.
It's only guns that they say that about. And I think, this is my view, that's to deflect the blame on the individual to the gun.
Right.
You know, if they didn't have the gun, they wouldn't have done this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
the insinuation. Anyway, that's just a small thing that I've observed
okay.
in the news.
Well,
I'm not scolding you, Chris. I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
Do you see my point?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Yes.
I can scold you if you like, Chris. But
that one time Ed took me behind the woodshed. Anyway, gave me a talking to. Yeah, I mean, this won't be the last people shooting gun violence act in Chicago. There were some yesterday. There's probably going to be more tomorrow because that city is just, I mean, it's every day. It's sometimes by the hour that police department already dealing with a lot of other issues.
You know what Mayor Lori Lightfoot said? Mayor Lightfoot of Chicago. She is the leader of that city, the ones the people elected. So, you know, they have confidence in her, evidently. She said July 21st, she said at 6:02 p.m. Was that yesterday?
Yes.
She said her response to this, under no circumstances will I allow Donald Trump's troops to come to Chicago and terrorize our residents.
It sounds to me like the residents of Chicago are plenty terrified already, and that is from the people shooting gun violence that is erupting.
We do not welcome dictatorship, she said. So she's got it under control.
Yeah, she gave a press conference. You know, one of the things we've talked about this week is the Trump administration is just kind of fed up with things going on in large cities, urban areas, what have you. The Trump administration president, Trump himself, has said, we're going to do something about this. So yesterday she said, well, that's fine. We'll take federal assistance. You can come here, but we're not going to accept dictatorship. I actually have some sound from the mayor here. This is Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, clip 3.
Unlike what happened in Portland, what we will receive is resources that are going to plug in to the existing federal agencies that we work with on a regular basis to help manage and suppress violent crime in our city. I've been very clear that we welcome actual partnership, but we do not welcome dictatorship. We do not welcome authoritarianism, and we do not welcome unconstitutional arrest and detainment of our residents.
Is that going on?
Is it
unconstitutional arrest and detainment of our citizens?
Is it in Chicago where they have arrested some who were, because what happened is the president has sent federal officials. Now, I will admit, some of them look like they are dressed in military fatigues.
Right.
But they are there to defend federal property.
In Portland, I know that's going on.
Okay, that may be what I'm thinking about, where they snatched
a federal building.
Yeah, they snatched up people who were coming to deface or otherwise destroy federal property. I didn't know if that happened in Chicago. She may be referencing what happened in Portland and saying we're not going to have that here. But she doesn't have it. This is not unconstitutional. That is federal property.
Right.
And federal officials have the right to use federal forces, okay, law enforcement, to protect and to arrest. If you go on federal property in Chicago or anywhere else in the country, and you break windows, you can be arrested on federal charges. That's my understanding.
Yeah,
that's not unconstitutional.
Might as well. Senator Tom Cotton also is of the opinion that the federal government has the right to defend federal property. We do not have this sound, but Senator Cotton was on Fox and Friends yesterday saying he was completely in favor of that. And one of the examples he gave was, you know, Lincoln did this during the Civil War. There were attacks on federal installations. And, you know, that's a senator from Arkansas saying that.
Right. So. Look, here's the bottom line with this, and I think we all know this. It's common sense. You have an ongoing attack on the police by left-wing mayors across the country. You have city councils that are voting to in the case of Minneapolis, eradicate the police, right?
Mm-hmm.
In New York City, same thing. Other major cities, get rid of the police or greatly diminish their presence by defunding them, or as Joe Biden says, you know, reappropriate monies from the police department to somewhere else. In essence, that's defunding the police. So this is a side that the left has taken. When you do that, then you're going to increase criminal activity. Why? Because the bad guys know the police aren't going to be around.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
What's this saying? If the cat's away, the mice play?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same principle involved here. And these mayors and city councils are making it known to the public that they want the police either eradicated or their influence greatly diminished. So this is what you're going to get. Now, again, to me, the blame is on the voters, ultimately is on the voters and the citizens of those cities who constantly elect these left-wing mayors and city councils. Because if they're constantly elected, then the people of those communities, at least a majority of citizens in those communities, support these ideas. So you get the kind of government you elect or you vote for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would even say that if the majority of those voters, let's say in Minneapolis, said, well, we didn't know our mayor and city council were going to say we want to get rid of the police. No, you might not have known they were going to do that, but you knew, or you should have known, what the political views were of the people you put into office and had an understanding of where that could lead. And even if you are taken by surprise, you should demonstrate that by voting for somebody else in the next election. And to your point, Tim, if they don't, if they reelect these people, then at least the majority of people in that community get the government they deserve.
Have you guys ever seen, or maybe has AFA Action, to your knowledge, done some sort of analysis on how much attention people pay to local races? I know some people that are like, oh, what difference does it make? We're just going to get another terrible person in there. But I would imagine very few people.
That's why I'm not voting.
Right.
That stands to reason.
I would imagine very few people pay attention to or watch the debates between mayoral candidates.
I will say this, and I think you're right. I think a lot of people don't pay attention because I've listened to mayors, and people ask them, "What's your view on abortion?" As if they can change anything about that's a national
issue.
As a mayor, okay. Yeah. I appreciate that, but here's the thing. Increasingly, the Democratic Party, as I mentioned the other day, we've all said this. This is not your father's Democratic Party. It is being taken over by radicals. So anymore, if you vote for a Democrat for mayor, you are more than likely getting a person with that mindset and that worldview. So even if you don't drill down to find out what the mayor, the candidate for mayor believes about, local property taxes, you might not pay that close attention. You ought to be paying attention to what party they belong to, because increasingly the gulf between, let's just say this, between true conservatives and true leftists, that gulf is widening.
Yeah.
And you are going to get people on the far left who are going to want to defund police. That's just, and you vote for them because that's the party you always voted for. You're going to get those changed policies.
Next story, Chris.
Well, this is a big developing story out of Houston that's getting some national attention as top stories on USA Today and Fox News at the moment. I'll begin with this. Yesterday, the Trump administration announced it was going to be closing the consulate office for the Chinese government in Houston, Texas. A consulate office is basically like an extension of that diplomatic presence. And there's consulates throughout the country of various governments and their agencies.
Is it the same as an embassy, by the way?
Or? It's similar in scope. There's a little bit of a difference as to like what they do and who's there, but it is an entity of the Chinese government, this particular installation in Houston, Texas. State Department spokesperson Morgan Ortegas said the closure in Houston of the Chinese consulate was to, quote, protect American intellectual property and Americans' private information. You know, the Trump administration, even the Obama administration, have accused China of stealing our intellectual property. They make a lot of our stuff. Maybe they tinker with it and figure out how we make it, and then they make their cheap knockoff version to undersell us and the global economy, things of that nature. So Houston is closing this. Now, there were some news reports overnight of people at the Chinese consulate office burning documents and things of that nature. Then Senator Marco Rubio, the Republican from Florida, he comes out and refers to this as a massive spy center. So something weird and possibly nefarious is going on or has been going on at the Houston consulate office. And China, by the way, says it's going
to
retaliate.
Weird that China would spy on the U.S.?
Well,
really, Chris?
Well, bad choice of words. I've only had two pots of coffee this morning instead of my three. I'm going to start doing popcorn like you. But China has vowed to retaliate. We'll find out what, if anything, that means. Maybe they're going to kick us out of Beijing. I don't know. We'll find out. But the differences in opinion between our country and China continue to exist and are maybe at a heightened level today compared to yesterday or the day before.
Here's the way I view spying, okay? And I'm going to bring it closer to home, okay? Because when I was raising my kids, all right, now my son was very well behaved, obedient. My daughter was, let's just put it this way, she was a trailblazer. She was always trying to get away with things. Mm-hmm. And someone told me once, they said, here's how you define the parent-teenage relationship. Your daughter's job is to get away with stuff. Your job is to catch them, okay? And that's the way I view spying. Everybody knows that when you're talking about Western nations, the major powers, everyone's spying on everyone, okay?
Yeah.
So the job of the people who are spying is to spy. The job of the host country is to catch them. And if you get caught, you pay the consequences. That's what happened to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You get caught staying out past curfew, you get caught, you get punished. And this is what's happened to China in Houston. They're going to – listen, I believe Israel spies on us. I believe we spy on Israel, and we're allies.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we spy on France. We spy on Great Britain. They do what they can to spy on us because you're looking out –
And then we join together to spy on others.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
We triangulate spying.
You hold the dirt over them and be like, work with
right.
us here.
That's
you
know? Right. So I'm with Tim. I'm not shocked that China is spying on us. We are they want to become the number one power in the world. Right now we are. They want to try to undermine us and catch us with our trousers down, and but they got caught. So now they're paying the consequences. And we shut down the consulate, and they're burning papers because yeah. they don't want us to find out what they know. And this is as old as nations.
Yeah.
Spying.
Moses sent spies into the promised
exactly.
land. Exactly. I mean, to give you an idea of how many thousands of years spying.
Right.
The spying biz goes back. Yeah. So we'll continue to monitor that. Rusty Pugh's anchoring for us this morning through the early afternoon. I'll take over and then Steve. So we'll follow up with you guys on that. Meanwhile, another big political story playing out today in people are maybe making a big deal out of this purely because it's Republicans fighting with one another. But yesterday, there were some concerns and accusations that Representative Liz Cheney, the Republican representative from Wyoming, was working against President Trump to try to help Joe Biden. Now, Cheney has been somewhat of an outspoken critic of the president's handling of things like the Afghanistan policy, what's going on in Germany, the response to the coronavirus, all kinds of things. So Republicans, particularly members of the House Freedom Caucus, they get together yesterday and they meet with various members of the Republican establishment, and they're having a meeting. Matt Gaetz, the representative of Florida, he tweets that Cheney needs to be removed from any and all leadership positions she has on committees or things of that nature. And Gaetz is quoted as saying that Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, who has been on this program before, he cited Cheney's opposition to the president's policies, coronavirus, even her efforts to criticize Republican Thomas Massie, one of the people not happy with stimulus efforts by the federal government. So long story short, both Cheney and Jordan were on Fox and Friends this morning, but neither of them really wanted to go into great detail as to what, if anything, was said and why. Let's do clip two. This is Congressman Jordan.
Look, Steve, I'm focused on one thing. We got 103 days till the election. I'm focused on making sure President Trump gets reelected. You look at what the cancel culture mob is trying to do to the country. We got to make sure he wins, because if Joe Biden's elected and is Chuck Schumer leading the Senate and is Nancy Pelosi running the House, that is a scary, frightening scenario for the country. Where they will let the mob take us, what we see happening in these cities will continue, and a host of other bad things that threaten fundamental liberty, fundamental freedom. So I'm focused on one central thing. We got 103 days. Let's make sure President Trump is reelected as president. I don't typically get into what gets discussed behind closed doors in Republican conferences.
Do you think that's a smart move on his half? On his part?
Yeah, I think you got to have some sort of collegiality between members of your own party. I wish there'd be collegiality between members of the two different parties and
right.
maybe ratchet down some of the rhetoric. But yeah, I don't think you're going to find Jim Jordan criticizing Liz Cheney out publicly. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of thing, you do that behind closed doors. I like Jim Jordan. I think that this is the right approach.
Okay.
I ditto. What? To bar from Rush Limbaugh.
Ditto heads.
Ditto what?
Ed, I concur.
What Ed said. All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we get back, more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Chris. And a lot more to discuss and talk about. We'll be right back.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Understanding the Times Radio.
We see rioting and turmoil. We see the blossoming of the cancel culture, canceling America's history so that the radicals can't establish the new America, and we feel helpless.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wanted to walk where Jesus walked? That's right, Israel, the Holy Land. That's where we're going in March 2021. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We have set our dates for our trip, March 16th through the 24th, and we'd love to have you join us for this, for many people, once-in-a-lifetime trip to the Holy Land. For more information, just visit the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, we can do that. You need to call 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll get that brochure in the mail to you. Again, it's going to be a wonderful time with Christian brothers and sisters from around the country as we go and see Israel.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
The San Francisco Giants are making headlines after they disrespected the United States of America by taking a knee during the national anthem. A number of the players dropped to a knee as the Star-Spangled Banner echoed through an empty baseball stadium. Giants manager Gabe Kapler joined his team, says he's not happy with the way the country's handling police brutality, said he wanted to amplify the voices of the black and marginalized communities. President Trump voiced his displeasure with the Giants, says he loves sports, but anytime he sees a player kneeling during the national anthem, he's changing the channel. Good for you, Mr. President. And I suspect a lot of freedom-loving sports fans feel the same way. And by the way, those overpaid athletes, if they're not careful, those empty seats may become permanent. Be sure to catch my national radio show noon to 3 Eastern, or you can download the entire show online at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Chris, we thank you for listening. If you would like to send us an email, and remember, we want it to be the K-Love type email, positive and encouraging, okay? Send us an email to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We have friends over at K-Love. We're just having a little fun with that. Isn't that their deal?
Yeah,
positive and encouraging.
You name your network Chris, K-Love.
Chris not bringing much positive and encouraging to our show this morning,
like
Chris.
Sound like other people I know.
You need to go research dandelions and rainbows and
puppies.
Put that with my notes. I'll bring it.
Bring us some cute kid stories.
That's right.
But no more of the shootings and Chinese spying on us and everything
like
that,
coronavirus.
Chris.
Oh, yeah. Well, President Trump said yesterday it's going to get worse if you missed the briefing. So,
well, thank you, President. Mr. President, thank you for sharing that with us.
Do what I can. Why you pay me the big bucks?
Then President Trump did say it was going to get worse before it gets better. Did you ever think you'd ever hear him say that?
He's probably
exhausted
forced,
with it.
He's
too.
Probably forced to say it just to let people know that it's that they're going to hear more on CNN about
why, it. Why do you think he's forced to say it?
But probably because the indicators are that it is going to get worse and people...
The virus.
And the numbers are going to go up.
Of course,
up.
It's his virus.
Yes. That's
says
what,
Nancy
that's
Pelosi.
That's what Nancy Pelosi said. Call
Nancy
it the Trump
Pelosi,
virus.
Speaker of the House, Speaker of the House of Ice Cream, Nancy Pelosi,
the House of Ice Cream,
calls it the Trump virus.
Yes, and let me just unload once.
Please do. And then Abraham
Speaker
Hamilton
Pelosi.
III's over here.
Go.
I'm just going to say just quickly, she is the biggest hypocrite. Mm-hmm. When this thing first started and President Trump said, we're banning all flights in from China, she went to Chinatown in San mm-hmm. Francisco and said, y'all come. That's what you, the way you put it. Everything's fine here. And now she's saying this is Trump's virus.
Oh, yeah, it's like we say.
I'm done.
It's like we say every day, the Democrats and their friends in the mainstream, quote, mainstream media, they get up and they say, what is President Trump for today? We're against it. What is he against? We're for it.
Right.
That's our agenda. It doesn't matter what it is. So now she's renamed the virus, the Trump virus. To try to, you know, hang the Chinese, what does President Trump call it? The Chinese virus?
Chinese virus.
Abe has his own description. Abe, what do you describe this coronavirus as?
I call it the Wuhan flu or the Kung flu.
The Kung flu. That's the one I like. The Kung flu.
Don't choke on your popcorn, Tim.
You have not been through PC school.
Oh, that's what I was supposed to go through?
No, yeah, because you can't
after
call it.
After law school, yeah.
Now, I think the Kung Flu's...
Don't let me get you in trouble.
Okay, yeah. Let me just say, folks, you understand, we take this the coronavirus, COVID-19, very seriously.
Yes.
Not making fun of that. But I do laugh when I hear the Kung Flu, because that's funny.
That is funny.
Huh?
It's
did you make that up? Somebody else make that. Did you get
wrong.
That from somebody?
I don't
Kung
know if
flu.
I've said it and I've seen it other places. I don't know who said it first, but
it's one of those things where
everybody was Kung Flu fighting.
Everybody's,
you remember that song?
It's just sitting there waiting to be knocked out of the park. Yeah, a million people probably saw that one coming.
And
Kung
I
flu.
Just watched the Bruce Lee be like Walter, my friend. And I thought, yeah, it's the Kung Flu.
Hey, who
but I have no problem identifying diseases
from where they originate.
Origin. Rocky yeah, Mountain Spotted Fever.
Spanish flu.
Ebola.
Montezuma's Revenge. I mean, we got all kind of problems that come from other parts of the world.
Oh, man.
All right, so... We.
Meanwhile.
Okay. All right.
Sorry,
let's reel this thing back. Guys?
Yeah. Go ahead. You reel that back
I'm
in.
I'm trying to keep us on track here. Okay. Doing my dead level best. You guys on the rabbit trail. All right. Now, we do have some good news.
Yes.
Some great news, actually.
Yes.
We wanted to ask Abe about. Mm-hmm. Chris, you want to set this up?
Yes, there is a faith-based adoption provider in the state of New York, New Hope Family Services, that has been it's been in court against a New York policy or requirement for faith-based providers to believe in and support, have no problem with same-sex marriage. New Hope Family Services is religious, and they say they have religious beliefs about traditional marriage. Therefore, they should be able to stand by those things and be able to serve the public as they have been doing for a very long time now. And yesterday, or this week, an appeals court dismissed a lower court's dismissal of New Hope's lawsuit against New York officials. So basically, you had an appeals court in these United States of America standing up for and agreeing with arguments from a Christian adoption agency. This is not the Fifth Circuit where we traditionally see rulings in favor of conservatives and their organizations or agencies. This is another part of the country, in this case, the northeastern U.S., ruling in favor of a faith-based adoption agency. What, if anything, stood out to you, Abe?
Yeah, which I'll start right there. It's a Second Circuit case. The case came from New York. An interesting background on the case is that the New York Office of Family Services threatened New Hope back in 2013. New Hope filed their lawsuit against the state of New York in 2013. Why is that significant? Because that is before Obergefell was even decided.
Right.
So before the Supreme Court had even issued its opinion concerning same-sex marriage, the state of New York zeroed in on this Christian adoption agency that had done business in the state of New York for over 50 years.
5-0?
5-0, half a century. Mm. And the state of New York said, we no longer like your prioritization of placing children in heterosexual married families. So you either drop your policy or we're shutting you down. That, I mean, mm-hmm. and that started in 2013.
Stunning, yeah.
That is absolutely stunning. So to have this decision by the Second Circuit, which specifically, I know you said dismissed, but it reversed the district court's dismissal of the case. The lower court just threw the case out, saying, "Oh, New Hope, you have no case here." Just threw it out, and the Second Circuit said, "Excuse me, the law clearly has some religious animus, and you can't just dismiss their claim." And so we're remanding now, sending it back down to you to take their claim seriously, because there are serious issues indicated by the record that shows the only thing that motivated the state of New York was its anti-Christian hostility. And I'll add this one last thing in. New Hope operates an adoption agency, a temporary foster care placement agency, and they're also a pregnancy resource center, all in one.
Okay, then let me ask you this. So, first of all, this is good news.
Yes.
Because this gives them another shot. But it does not, as far as your description, it does not end the matter. The lower court could still rule against New Hope.
Yes, possibly.
Possibly.
But the thing that is encouraging, and I want to read this from...
Again, excuse me, Abe, just to reset this for just a moment, people joining us. This is a good news story out of New York, the state of New York. Mm-hmm. The state of New York, under Cuomo's leadership and many of the liberals there, they've been trying to shut down Christian adoption agencies because they prohibit... children, they only want to send children to married couples, man and a woman.
Right.
So the state of New York says, nope, you can't discriminate on that basis against lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgenders, and queer people. And whatever other letters have been added since I mentioned those, I don't know. So you Christians, stop your bigotry and get with the program and start sending, you need to start sending children to gay couples and other, anyway. So New Hope Adoption Agency says, no, we're not going to do that. That violates our religious freedom in America under the First Amendment. And we're just not going to participate in that. We're going to keep doing what we've always done. By the way, there are many other adoption agencies that LGBT people can go to get children. What's the fellow's name on CNN? Anderson Cooper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He and his quote partner adopted a child. So is it like
to your point? New Hope constantly refers people to other adoption agencies,
right?
That
you can go that don't have the same
religious
convictions that
convictions
they
and policies.
So anyway, this is a good this is up to the federal appellate court level. Is what we're talking about. Next stop would be the Supreme Court. So this is good news. I know things could change, but you wanted to. Kudos to this New Hope Adoption Agency. By the way, we get the story posted on our website, on our Facebook page. So if you're going to read about this, go to our Facebook page, and we've got the story. You can print it out for yourself or forward to your friends and family. Go ahead, Abe.
Yeah, I was going to say that the court, which it was a 3-judge panel, the majority, 2-1 opinion was written by Judge Rena Raggi, who was appointed by George W. Bush in 2002, President George W. Bush. But the court reasoned that New Hope's faith-based services did nothing to interfere with other adoption providers. So nothing about their policies affected any other adoption providers. And Judge Raggi's opinion said this explicitly, quote, "The Supreme Court has declined to fault such religious views about marriage, observing that many who deem same-sex marriage to be wrong reach that conclusion based on decent and honorable religious and philosophical premises, and neither they nor their beliefs are disparaged here. Indeed, the court has suggested that differing secular and religious views in this area should be allowed to coexist." She goes on to conclude, quote, it is plainly a serious step to order an authorized adoption agency such as New Hope operating without complaint for 50 years, taking no government funding, successfully placing approximately 1,000 children, and with adoptions pending or being supervised, to close all its adoption operations. So, end quote. So the reason why I read that is, even though the case has been remanded for further proceedings at the district court, the Second Circuit is putting the state of New York on notice that it has identified its anti-Christian hostility, mm-hmm. and it will not be tolerated, according to this panel of Second Circuit judges.
By the way, we want to give credit to our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom
yes.
organization.
Yes, ADF and appellate attorney John Versch mm-hmm. Represented New Hope in this matter. And they're consistently racking up wins in the federal system.
Abe, just discuss for just a few moments here the fact that the other side on this issue, whether it's the owner of a bakery or a flower shop or Catholic charities in various states, photographers, the other side on this, they don't have a live and let live attitude,
no.
do they? The reasoning you just talked about from the opinion from the Second Circuit, that seems like a reasonable approach. That doesn't satisfy the other side. Talk about the winner take all mentality of the other side.
Yeah, it is no live and let live. I mean, just as I referred to the court's reasoning in this matter, there is nothing about New Hope's existence or their policies that impede any other adoption agencies that want to do anything else. You know, Anderson Cooper, whoever else can go to any number of adoption agencies in New York to adopt children, as he just has done living yeah. in New York.
Right.
And what we're witnessing, as I described as an anti-Christian hostility, is that it's not enough for them to have the freedom to do what they want. They want to crush your freedom
right.
to do what you want and to live according to your religious beliefs and your well-held convictions.
Look, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of the state of New York, said openly in the last couple of years that people who are pro-life and people who only believe in marriage between a man and a woman aren't even welcome to visit the state of New York. We don't want you. That's what he said.
Yeah, and you if you don't that? Like if you get out.
Yeah.
You
so the hostility there is great at the government level to Christians. This is good news, and we'll watch and see where this goes. Did you want to say something, Chris?
I was just going to say, if President Trump said something to that effect about liberals, CNN would be wall-to-wall without
right.
commercial interruptions.
Sure. Listen. When remember in 2012 when the big dust-up over Chick-fil-A occurred because Dan Cathy was asked about marriage, and his own personal opinion
right.
was marriage between a man and a woman. He has a biblical view. All the animosity, the outbreak of hostility against Chick-fil-A, which continues to this day. But I remember then-time mayor of Boston, Tom Menino, said, Chick-fil-A wants to come to Boston. We're going to do everything we can to keep them out. Okay? To your point, Chris, if a conservative or a Christian conservative ever said that in their as a mayor mm-hmm. of City X, we are not going to welcome Ben and Jerry's or blah, 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 because of their liberal
right.
views, we're going to do everything we can to stop them. It'd be wall to wall, and they would be infamous from now till doomsday. But the same doesn't apply when this happens to Chick-fil-A
right.
or some other.
I think in some of those airports that were trying to block Chick-fil-A from opening up locations, they had allowed Ben & Jerry's to operate, now that I think about
it's,
it. So there were, tolerance is a two-way street. Until
Buffalo
you're
International Airport,
talking to
I think,
a tolerant person.
Also San Antonio.
You know, and I tweeted out this morning, I was just thinking, and I tweeted out, don't ever negotiate with terrorists. And the reason why I'm saying that is the only way you can really understand the upside-down worldview of regressives is you have to understand Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. The inconsistency with Nancy Pelosi,
right.
you know, going to China. Their inconsistency is a part of their programming to keep their political opponents always mystified as to what their objectives are, because their objective is always their ultimate regressive agenda. They're never content with having a competing alternative view. Their objective entirely is complete power, control, and subjugation of their enemies.
Because this is not a debate to them.
It's not a debate.
This is a contest of wills. And so what you're saying with Saul Alinsky, it's like sleight of hand.
It literally is. The Bolsheviks, when Russia was taken over by the communist powers, the Bolsheviks always intended to have absolute power control. But they began with a palatable phrase, you know, bread and land and food. And who could argue with that? It's almost like, you know, arguing Black Lives Matter when you really don't care two shakes about Black lives. That's why you don't say anything about the slaughter going on in Chicago, the little children being murdered in my hometown in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. You say nothing about that because your objective is power. You use a palatable phrase that no one could debate, but when your objective is complete, total control and power and subjugation of your enemies. That's why I'm encouraging Christians and those who have a biblical worldview to stand unflinchingly on the word of God. It's not that you hate anybody. You don't hate people. Don't allow them right. to make you defensive and say, explain how and why, when and where you don't hate people. You don't have to make that argument. You don't have to prove that you love your fellow man by chanting a three-phrase moniker authored and pioneered by these Marxists. What we have a word of God that tells us to love people without hypocrisy. The word of God tells us that we're members of one another. We don't need a new treatise or canon to show us that we love one another. Stand firm on the word of God, unflinchingly, resolutely, non-belligerent. We don't have to be belligerent, but we nevertheless stand unmoved.
Amen, brother.
And I will add, get registered and vote.
Yes.
I've said this for, you know,
The Democrats, they've done away with get registered. It's just vote.
That's true. Huh? Yeah, check.
You're still going with get registered,
well,
though?
Well, I'm just saying check your state. Yeah. Check your state. Make sure some still, I don't know, to your point, I'm not sure what states have anymore, but there used to be for most states a 30-day before the election period. All I'm saying is whatever your state requires, you'd better get registered and you better vote this time around because the Bolsheviks aren't going to give you mercy.
They're out in the open now.
Yeah.
This is out in the open. So let me ask you this, Abe. Of course, we're talking about the upcoming election in November. The presidential election, obviously, will be the lead story. We do have a lot of Senate races that are up. A third of all the Senate is up for re-election every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it'll be the same, and the Republicans have more to risk this time than the Democrats do in terms of the number of Republican incumbents that are out there. But let me ask you this. The Democrats now and Joe Biden, they have adopting the platform of Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
And Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez,
AOC, which is a person, not a condition.
Occasional cortex?
That's a weather pattern you just mentioned.
Occasional cortex.
Don't you
think? That winter cortex.
It comes down from Canada, if you'll notice. I'm not making this up.
No.
I'm not making this up. So, but here's my question. The Democrats under Biden have now adopted Bernie Sanders, and they're open about this because Joe Biden and those around him, by the way, he's stacking his team with far, far lefties too. These aren't moderates who are, career Democrats who want to, say what you have to on the left and then go to the middle. These people want to go to the left and then keep going.
Right.
Right. Till you fall off a flat earth out there somewhere. But my question is, you mentioned Rules for Radicals earlier by Saul Alinsky. When was that written, by the way?
1971. That's when it was published.
What? Give me two sentences about what that guy's, what did he write this for?
Oh, I can tell you. His dedication page explains it all. In dedicating his book, he said, "We must give at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the first radical who received his own kingdom, Lucifer." That's on the dedication page of the book. He viewed his book as the volume two to Karl Marx and Frederick Engels' Communist Manifesto. He viewed the Rules for Radicals as the how-to playbook to implement the worldview of Karl Marx.
Was he a professor at the University of Chicago? What was his?
I think he was for a time.
Okay.
I think he was a professor at the University of Chicago, and he's the feature of
Clinton. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, were they disciples of his?
Or? Yeah. Hillary Clinton wrote her master thesis at Wellesley College on Saul Alinsky and his principles for radical revolution. And Barack Obama taught Saul Alinsky's principles at the University of Chicago.
He went to the University of Chicago. I'm trying to check. Saul Alinsky. By the way, there's a very interesting interview that I watched a month or so ago with Alinsky, Saul Alinsky, and William F. Buckley. Remember William F. Buckley from the firing line?
Yeah.
And that was very interesting. He was very open and honest about what he was trying to do.
Okay, let me ask you this. We got 5 minutes left here on the program. This is these, as Ed mentioned earlier in the hour, this isn't your grandpa's Democrat Party. You know, Democrats and Republicans traditionally in America have argued about the ways you govern, right? Processes. Or should we have a tax at 30% or 20%? How much should we, you know, how much do we, army should we have? Should we get involved here? Should we get involved there? There have always been party differences, but they were within the bounds of American principles and American values, I would say, for the most part, over the years. I remember hearing about Tip O'Neill, the Democrat leader of the House, you know, and Ronald Reagan, President of the United States, vastly different political views, but they were friends, and they could talk through issues, and they could work it out, and they could compromise. That's not the world we live in anymore. And I would say that something's happened to the Democrat Party over the last 10 years in particular, where they no longer champion American values and principles or our traditions. And I don't know where these people really want to do a majority. You think a majority of our fellow Americans really want to take our country to a new Marxist place, outright socialism, doing away with basically the First Amendment? I mean, where do you think the majority, I guess we'll find out in November a lot, but I mean, I don't know. I just find it hard to believe. One side of me, I guess I'm answering my own question that I posed, Dave. Can you hang around after the break? Because this is going to require more of an answer.
Yes.
You got business to attend to, yes. So don't worry about it. What do you think about what I just said?
Yeah, I don't think it's a majority of the country who agrees with it, but it is a very vocal minority. And I think we have a disengaged and in many instances, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, but in many instances an ignorant majority that they're not aware. It's like with the Bolsheviks, they actually believe the slogans that they're espousing is what they're actually seeking when that is not the case. Your point about Joe Biden is well taken. When have you ever seen a general election presidential candidate run further toward an extreme as opposed to running toward the middle in order to attract a wider swath of the American electorate?
Listen, the Democrat Party is championing no borders.
Yes.
Y'all come from around the world and we'll take care of you. The Democrats are saying, yes, that's what we're for.
Yes.
Joe Biden said, I'm not for detaining anyone that comes over our border.
He said it.
There's going to be no point in the hat. You're going to talk about open borders. No, it's no borders.
Right.
That's what they're for. And I guess I'm just shocked. That issue alone, I'm going, seemed to me, would get a 60-40 thumbs down from the American people. And yet here we are with polls saying the guy who is for no borders is up 10 points. That's what they say. I'm not saying I buy that. But I'm just going, surely to goodness, our fellow Americans, a majority of them are not buying into this Marxist ideology. But it's kind of scary out there right now. Thank you, Abe. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We shall be back with more good news in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.